What are we doing? Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. This isn't inevitable. These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else.
That was Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut speaking out against gun violence on the U.S. Senate floor following the mass shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde in May 2022.
Mass shootings have now become a normal part of living in the United States.
Oakland, Tulsa, Uvalde. By October 2022, there's been gunfire on school grounds 38 times just this year.
Statistics prove that gun violence is on the rise.
The Gun Violence Archive reported more than 600 mass shootings in 2021 and 559 this year.
When it comes to New York, gun violence affects youth in another, different way. Street disputes, gang violence, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Shocking case of gun violence.
Police say the child was hit by stray bullets while sitting in a car.
A 15-year-old boy dead tonight after police say he was shot while on the train.
A 12-year-old boy dead in another shocking case of gun violence.
Gun violence in the city leaves a mother and father in the Bronx overcome with grief. Their 11-year-old daughter was killed by a stray bullet in broad daylight. Now the family is...
According to the Gun Violence Archive, at least 160 children and teenagers have been shot in New York this year. At least 34 have been fatal.
Children and teenagers have been shot at their bedroom window or simply just by sitting in the back seat of a car.
A New York-based organization that is pushing that evidence forward is Youth Over Guns, a youth-led group. Founded shortly after the Parkland mass shooting, they advocate against ending gun violence, especially against adolescents.
To get something, kids are dying.
And in that moment, the goal was just to plan a march and raise our voices, and that culminated into so much more.
We spoke to Luis Jonathan Hernandez, who is the co-founder and executive director of the organization. He said he saw that a lot of young people were activated and were looking for ways to get engaged in the cause, a cause that is now the leading cause of death for young people in the United States.
As many of us identify as survivors, have lost close friends or loved ones to gun violence. Some of us are survivors ourselves, not myself, but other co-founders who have experienced gun violence, who still live today with the wounds of bullets and the trauma that carries.
Paul Boxer is a professor of psychology and the director of the Rutgers Center on Youth Violence and Juvenile Justice. He says the more violence that kids experience, the worse their outcomes tend to be in terms of behavior and reactions.
Kids who are exposed to high levels of violence fairly persistently may tend to develop what we might describe as traumatic stress reactions. They become very anxious, they become very emotionally dysregulated, they experience some degree of distress in ways that impact their ability to function. So it can impact their achievement in school, it can impact their social personal relationships to the extent that, you know, these end up being kids who are fairly stressed out and it disrupts their life.
Sometimes a lot of people who look like me do not want to squarely fit into a box where we're labeled as a survivor or a victim. And in some ways, it's an ego thing for men who are still learning all about their identity as young men and boys growing up and want to be able to show or display a strong, powerful figure. And in other ways, it's a cultural thing. We're taught to withhold that pain. We're taught to not talk about these things. We're taught to put these things to the side. We're taught to bury our emotions. We're taught to not seek therapy and all these other things that we know are very important for the development and growth of anybody, but they're not cultural norms in the communities that we come from.
Boxer believes that providing resources to kids and teenagers that have been affected by gun violence, whether it's directly or indirectly, could help.
That provides a certain degree of behavioral kind of intervention that links up kids and their families with broader community supports and is maintained by highly trained therapists with very small caseloads and has shown a lot of success. There's a couple different programs like this.
According to him, implementing professional guidance programs within school systems would help reduce the risk for violence and delinquency down the line.
And they've been around for a while. They're expensive to start up, but once they get up and running, they actually have tremendous cost benefit in terms of the amount invested and the amount of savings down the line from things like kids not getting hurt, kids not hurting other people, and kids not ending up dealing with law enforcement.
Hernandez explained that the trauma gun violence causes continues to perpetrate into a cycle of violence and is a tragedy that stays with a child's life forever, whether they experience one firsthand or simply witnessed a shooting.
Young children who survived give testimony about what that experience was like, to lose their best friend in a classroom, to come home and their sibling not be there, to have survived this tragedy, but their stepbrother not having survived that. These are all things that continue to perpetuate what we call cycles of violence, where young children are exposed to a very traumatic event, and that results in one or two ways. That child lingers with that trauma and holds that for their entire life, right, as a victim of gun violence. And other times we see that young person then take that anger and that rage and at some point in their life become a perpetrator of gun violence themselves.
The Cure Violence program uses a specific type of conflict resolution that includes actually going to the site of the violent incident whenever called. Their main goal is to identify at-risk youth to help prevent future violence on the spot.
When I talk about on the spot, we're talking about the worst parts of a community that's most impacted, and strange hours, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., things of that nature.
David Caba, the vice president at Good Shepherd Services, explains that his organization, Bronx Rises Against Gun Violence, focuses on behavioral intervention.
It's really simple. At 2 a.m., we can't send a stranger into that community to stop an individual who's pointing a gun at someone else, because all they'll do is turn the weapon on to this stranger. However, it's me or one of my staff who they know very, very well. They'll turn and say to me, "Indio, what are you doing here?"
He says one of the reasons they respond well to their presence is because they know each other and because he can connect with them on a personal level. Most of the interruptions occur with teenagers who have had a history of violence or have even been shot themselves.
They know the stories and they respect. And that's how we get them to put the weapon down. That's how we get them to listen, because we may live in the same building they live or the building across the street, and they see us on the daily. Our moms know each other. We eat the same foods, dress the same way, talk the same way.
Caba shared that although gun violence in New York is an epidemic, that is not how it is all around the world. And that is not how it's supposed to be. His area of expertise, the Bronx, is one of the boroughs that experiences the most shootings. In 2021, the Bronx had more than 30% more shooting incidents than even the prior year's spike, with some of the worst-hit precincts seeing even greater jumps.
We have an inordinate amount of shooting going on. We seem to think that this is part of everyday life, but it isn't. This is not happening in many other neighborhoods, and so we need to change that as a community to come together.
Caba explains that he can relate to many of the kids himself. He lost his brother to gun violence and has many family members and friends who also fell victim to the cycle. He says he could have really used an organization like Bronx Rises Against Guns when he was younger.
And I know what they're going through when they don't know if they're going to be able to eat tonight. There's no light at home. There's only one parent who's probably working and can't really give them the attention they need. And all of the street crews all around you pressuring you, trying to recruit you, and you either succumbing to that or having to fight on a regular basis. So it's very easy for me to see a lot of youngsters, a lot of teens, male and female, that have absolutely no guidance.
He explains that some people are drawn specifically to guns because of the power they hold, literally.
And they're fascinated by it, and they have an appetite for it. When you start working with somebody who is carrying a weapon on a regular basis and using it, the picture I give people all the time is that they're like one with their weapon, and they take it apart, clean it, put it together. It's a whole ritual. When you finish putting the weapon together and you fill the clip and put it in and they crank it back, there's a power that comes down through the arm and they feel extremely powerful.
Boxer had been researching how shootings affect youth for years. Still, he's surprised by how easy it is for youth to get a hold of the power that comes with holding a gun.
We've known for a long time so much about how to manage violent behavior in young people and how to optimize kids' mental health. But for whatever reason, whether it's money, whether it's political will, whether it's the sensitivities of a given community, we haven't been able to widely disseminate the programs that we know are effective. The weight of our evidence hasn't moved the needle in the way that I really was hoping that it could or should.
Blood is
Hernandez explained how Youth Over Guns simply looks to protect the lives of youth over the power that a gun can give a person. Now, he wants not just New York to see it, but the country as a whole.
And so as we continue to think about the need for change in this nation, it's not about infringing on anybody's rights, but it's about ensuring everybody's safety.
America's federal government could be doing more to protect youth from being a victim of gun violence.
Because if you take a very broad construction of what adolescence is, we know from neurological research, for example, that adolescence, the brain is still developing all the way through the mid-20s. So if you want to follow the brain science on that and say, well, people shouldn't be able to own their own guns until they have fully developed cognitive capacities for judgment and decision-making, then we would raise the age of purchase to 25 universally, right? 25 or even 26, potentially.
There's no reason why two 18-year-olds should have access to AK-15.
Hernandez explained that gun violence is a national crisis, and lawmakers have only scratched the surface.
As we've seen resources directed towards the CDC and many other agencies to address COVID, we need a very similar response to address gun violence in our country, as it's a pandemic that has reached just as much people, with over 45,000 people now a year being accounted towards a death toll.
Stop with the thoughts and prayers. Stop with enough is enough and start taking goddamn action. I'm tired of every day wondering what this is.
He said more legislation needs to be introduced and passed in order to address the issue and offer strategic solutions so that the ongoing cycle of violence can end.
I don't think at any point anyone who I work with, at least in violence prevention spaces, has ever called for a complete ban on firearms or have called for a cancellation of the Second Amendment or repeal of it. Quite frankly, we've done the exact opposite and have said, if you have a firearm, be a smart gun owner, right? Have safes in your homes. Make sure that your children do not have access to it.
Hernandez says that they have never pushed to repeal the right to bear arms.
Let's legislate accordingly so that if your firearms are stolen, there's a system in place where law enforcement can go out and retrieve those firearms. Because what we also have seen is most guns that are trafficked into places like New York that are accountable for over 80% of the violent crimes we see are more often than not guns that have been trafficked. And when you look at the source of why those guns were trafficked here, they were initially stolen.
Universal background checks and safekeeping for guns are policies that Youth Over Guns pushes for.
And so these are all policy measures that can be enacted in addition to nationwide red flag laws, in addition to universal background checks and all the other metrics that we know, micro stamping on our firearms to support our law enforcement officers in tracing back bullets, all these simple measures that allow law enforcement agencies, community members, and really our government at large to reduce gun violence as a whole.
Although some pro-gun organizations will listen to what Youth Over Guns preaches, he said organizations like the New York State Rifle Association believe his group wants to completely get rid of gun rights.
They will completely twist my words and sort of gaslight me and make me think that somehow the root of violence is something else.
He added that even with pushback from organizations that don't understand what easy access to firearms has done to the country, his group will continue to fight for measures that would make it easier for kids to live without being scared of possibly being shot.
America is the only place where you come and you fear every single day, no matter where you are, that at any point somebody can pull out a firearm and shoot and kill you or your loved one. We just want kids to be able to go to school without the worry or fear of being shot and killed. I just want to walk home without wondering whether or not I'm going to make it there tonight.
He said it's about the importance of life, morality, and humanity.
So much bigger than keeping people safe. It's about keeping people healthy, keeping people alive, and keeping communities thriving and flourishing. It's about the opportunity to live our lives without the fear of being shot and killed at any given point, at any given location.
We heard from Paul Boxer, who has been studying the effect of gun violence on youth.
David Caba, who was affected by gun violence as a child, and now intervenes to make sure other kids
and Luis
don't
Hernandez,
go through what he
a leader who is pushing for legislative advocacy to prevent more guns from killing people.
All three believe that gun violence is an epidemic and has taken the lives of countless kids.
Kids are now buying bulletproof backpacks.
teachers are practicing active shooter drills with their students.
And parents worry when sending their children to a place that is actually supposed to be safe.
Guns have killed children both in school and on the street, and they continue to do so in New York and all over the United States.
While some legislation has been introduced and passed in states like California, Connecticut, and New York, advocates worry that it will never be enough to truly protect youth from guns.
They will continue to fight until it is.
Lauren Peacock, Maya Brown, and Victoria Kempter for NYU Radio.